Let's read together 2 Kings chapter 15, verses 16 through 38. Now, in the second half of the chapter, we have the record of the reigns of three bad kings of Israel and the reign of one good king of Judah. Let's begin by reading about the reign of King Menachem of Israel in verses 16 through 22. 2 Kings 15, beginning at verse 16. Then from Tirzah, Menachem attacked Tifsah, all who were there, and its territory, because they did not surrender, therefore he attacked it. All the women there who were with child he ripped open. In the 39th year of Azariah, king of Judah, Menachem, the son of Gadi, became king over Israel and reigned 10 years in Samaria. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord. He did not depart all his days from the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who had made Israel sin. Pul, king of Assyria, came against the land, and Menachem gave Pul 1,000 talents of silver that his hand might be with him to strengthen the kingdom under his control. And Menachem exacted the money from Israel, from all the very wealthy, from each man 50 shekels of silver to give to the king of Assyria. So the king of Assyria turned back and did not stay there in the land. Now the rest of the acts of Menachem and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel? So Menachem rested with his fathers. Then Pekahiah, his son, reigned in his place. Let's begin our study of this second half of 2 Kings 15 with some background notes. Most likely, Menachem was a military commander under King Shalom, stationed at the military garrison in Tirzah. Now, in our last talk, we saw that Menachem came up from Tirzah to Samaria and assassinated King Shalom. Look back at verse 14, 2 Kings 15, verse 14. For Menachem, the son of Gadi, went up from Tirzah, came to Samaria, and struck Shalom, the son of Jabesh, in Samaria, and killed him, and he reigned in his place. Now in the verses that we've just read, we see that Menachem is not only a bad king who does not depart from the sins of Jeroboam the first, who had set up the golden calf idolatrous shrines, but Menachem is also a cruel and ruthless king. We read in verse 16 that he struck Tifsah. All the women there who were with child, he ripped open. This cruel and barbaric procedure of killing all the children, including the unborn, was to prevent any uprising in the future from the defeated enemy. In verse 19, we read that Pul, king of Assyria, came against the land. Pul is another name for Tiglath-Pileser III, the Assyrian ruler, who is also mentioned in verse 29 of this chapter. The Assyrian Empire was on the rise at this time and would eventually conquer the northern kingdom of Israel. This would take place in 722 BC, as we'll see in 2 Kings chapter 17. But right now, during Menachem's reign, the Assyrians were exerting pressure on Israel, and we see in verse 19 that they invaded Israel and demanded tribute. This would have been about 743 BC. In order to appease them, King Menachem gave the Assyrians 1,000 talents of silver, an enormous sum in those days. In today's standards, this would be millions of dollars. Verse 20 indicates that there were wealthy men in the northern kingdom of Israel at this time. Many of them would have gained this wealth under Jeroboam II, when the northern kingdom experienced considerable material prosperity. Well, so much for background. Let's move now to our doctrinal or teaching points for the second half of 2 Kings 15. Doctrinal point number one, it is impossible to avoid the consequences of God's moral laws. It is impossible to avoid the consequences of God's moral laws. Verses 23 through 31. In the 50th year of Azariah, king of Judah, Pekahiah, the son of Menachem, became king over Israel in Samaria and reigned 2 years. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord. He did not depart from the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who had made Israel sin. Then Pekah, the son of Remaliah, an officer of his, conspired against him and killed him in Samaria, in the citadel of the king's house, along with Argob and Ariah, and with him were 50 men of Gilead. He killed him and reigned in his place. Now the rest of the acts of Pekahiah and all that he did, Indeed, they are written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel. In the 52nd year of Azariah, king of Judah, Pekah, the son of Remaliah, became king over Israel and Samaria and reigned 20 years. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord. He did not depart from the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who had made Israel sin. In the days of Pekah, king of Israel, Tiglath-Pileser, king of Assyria, came and took Eon, Abel-Beth-Maacah, Genoa, Kadesh, Hetzor, Gilead, and Galilee, all the land of Naphtali, and he carried them captive to Assyria. In these verses, we have the records of two more bad kings of the northern kingdom of Israel, Pekahiah and Pekah. We read that both of these kings did evil in the sight of the Lord and did not depart from the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who had made Israel sin. We read in verse 25 that Pekah was one of Pekahiah's officers. But at an opportune time, along with the help of 50 men of the Gileadites, he assassinated Pekahiah. But then we read in verse 30 that Pekah reaped what he had sown and was assassinated himself as a result of a conspiracy organized by Hoshea, who became the last king of the northern kingdom of Israel. So often as you read the record of these bad kings, we see that they reaped what they had sown. This is a moral law in God's moral universe. In verse 16, we read of the cruelty of Menachem in his massacre of the city of Tifsah. Listen to the words of the prophet Hosea, who was preaching God's judgment in the northern kingdom at this time. I'm reading Hosea chapter 13 and verse 16. Samaria is held guilty, for she has rebelled against her God. They shall fall by the sword. Their infants shall be dashed in pieces, and their women with child ripped open. Hosea chapter 13, verse 16. And that is exactly what happened in 722 BC when the Assyrians conquered Samaria and defeated the northern kingdom of Israel. One of God's moral laws, as we mentioned, is that you reap what you sow. And it is impossible to avoid the consequences of God's moral laws. Romans chapter 1, verse 27 says that those who practice the sin of homosexuality receive in themselves the penalty of their error which was due. Romans 1, 27. It is impossible to avoid the consequences of God's moral laws. Another one of God's moral laws is that partial obedience leads to loss. When you practice partial obedience of God's laws, you will suffer loss in some way. Now, where do we see that lesson in 2 Kings chapter 15? We see it in verse 29, where Tiglath-Pileser made another invasion of the land in about 733 BC and captured a number of cities, including all of Gilead, which was on the east side of the Jordan River. Listen to a summary of this defeat in 1 Chronicles chapter 5 and verse 26. So the God of Israel stirred up the spirit of Pul, king of Assyria, that is Tiglath-Pileser, king of Assyria. He carried the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh into captivity. 1 Chronicles chapter 5, verse 26. Now, does that ring a bell? Remember, it was the 2.5 tribes of Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh who practiced partial obedience back in Numbers chapter 32. God wanted all 12 tribes across the Jordan River and in the land of promise. But the 2.5 tribes liked the grazing land on the eastern side of the Jordan River. They wanted to be part of God's people, but they didn't want to fully obey the Lord. They practiced partial obedience. And here we see their loss. They were less protected on the east side of the Jordan River and were the first tribes to go into captivity when the Assyrians attacked. There will always be loss when you practice partial obedience, then and today. Loss of protection, loss of reward, loss of fellowship with the Lord, loss in some way. It is impossible to avoid the consequences of God's moral laws. Doctrinal point number two. It is possible to do what is right in the midst of moral and spiritual decay. It is possible to do what is right in the midst of moral and spiritual decay. Verses 32 through 38, and this is the record of good King Jotham. In the second year of Pekah, the son of Remaliah, king of Israel, Jotham, the son of Uzziah, king of Judah, began to reign. He was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jerusha, the daughter of Zadok, and he did what was right in the sight of the Lord. He did according to all that his father Uzziah had done. However, the high places were not removed. The people still sacrificed and burned incense on the high places. He built the upper gate of the house of the Lord. Now the rest of the acts of Jotham and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? In those days, the Lord began to send Rezin, king of Syria, and Pekah, the son of Remaliah, against Judah. So Jotham rested with his fathers and was buried with his fathers in the city of David, his father. Then Ahaz, his son, reigned in his place. Jotham was one of the 8 good kings of the southern kingdom of Judah. He did what was right in the sight of the Lord, even in the midst of moral and spiritual decay in Judah. We know that things were bad in Judah at this time, from what we read in the books of Micah and Isaiah, who were prophesying in Judah at this time. Listen to what Micah says about the moral and spiritual conditions in Judah at this time. I'm reading Micah chapter 2, the first 2 verses. Woe to those who devise iniquity. They covet fields and take them by violence, also houses and seize them. So they oppress a man and his house, a man and his inheritance. Also, Micah chapter 3, beginning at verse 9. Now hear this, you heads of the house of Jacob, and rulers of the house of Israel, who abhor justice and pervert all equity, who builds up Zion with bloodshed and Jerusalem with iniquity. Her heads judge for a bribe, her priests teach for pay, and her prophets divine for money. Micah chapter 3, verses 9 through 11. King Jotham lived in the midst of these less than ideal moral and spiritual conditions, and he did what was right. It is possible to do what is right in the midst of moral and spiritual decay. We live at a time when there is moral and spiritual decay all around us. It is not easy to raise a family and live righteously during these times, but it can be done with God's help. Let's be like good King Jotham. It is possible to do what is right in the midst of moral and spiritual decay. Practical application from the second half of 2 Kings 15. How many howevers will be in your final record? How many howevers will be in your final record? Jotham was a good king, and he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. But look at what we read in verse 35. However, the high places were not removed. Remember, at these high places, the people were sacrificing and burning incense to the Lord. But according to the law, all sacrifices were to take place at the altar in the temple area in Jerusalem. So there is a however in good King Jotham's record. Now what about us? We love the Lord and we want to live a righteous life. But is there an however attached to our record? Some hidden sin or root of bitterness or area of jealous pride that is holding us back from a more righteous life? How many howevers will be in your final record?